from the Star Rental Sports Desk. Your 950 KJR Sports
Desk. Yeah, buddy, here we go. Headlines on a Friday night right here on 950 KJR. Brought to you, of course, by our friends at VenueKings.com.
Extremely difficult. Boy, they were so close. So close.
They might be saying that in a couple days about Tampa Bay. Rays were up 3-0 on the Astros in the ALCS. Houston's clawed back to 3-2, and they're leading Tampa 7-1 in the top of the seventh in Game 6 as we speak. Game 7, if they make it that far, will be tomorrow, by the way, at 5:37. NLCS, Atlanta looking for a trip to the World Series at 6:08 tonight from Texas.
Husky guard Naz Carter suspended from the team indefinitely for a violation of the student code of conduct.
Nick Saban, who 2 days ago Alabama announced had tested positive for COVID-19 along with Alabama's AD Greg Byrne, has now tested negative, and they're saying he could coach tomorrow against Georgia.
Dalvin Cook ruled out for Minnesota this weekend with the abdominal injury he suffered against the Seahawks.
I don't like that. I got the Vikings in Fact or Fiction this week on the show. We got a couple of college games tonight. Tulane right now, early fourth quarter, leading number 17 SMU 31-27. A good one tonight, BYU and Houston at 6:30 tonight on ESPN.
SEC fining Ole Miss, Tennessee, and Texas A&M $100,000 apiece for violations of COVID protocol.
And the Seahawks have a bye this week. Obviously, they'll be at Arizona October the 25th. The Arizona Republic reporting the Cardinals will allow about 1,200 fans, including some season ticket holders, for that game in Glendale next Sunday. All right, joining us on the radio show, Dick, a guy that we got to know for his time at Cube 93 down the hall, superstar radio guy here in Seattle, now in L.A., killing it in Los Angeles. I'm thinking about my favorite Eddies of all time, Eddie Van Halen, Eddie Money, Edward Scissorhands. Eddie Francis is at the top of the list joining us right now on the show. How are you, man?
What's up, fellas?
Not much, man. Listen, Dick, I got to tell you, I was shocked. This guy is a big LeBron fan. He was in L.A. when the Lakers won the championship, and he's tweeting out photos and videos of the fans going bananas, celebrating the title in L.A., and I can't believe you did not get your ass down there to be a part of that celebration. Come on, man.
He wants to stay alive.
Look, here's the thing. I've been to one victory parade, one celebration. That was when the Seahawks won the Super Bowl. I don't feel like I was worthy enough to go down and celebrate with actual Lakers fans because I'm a LeBron fan. So I was going to let them have their moment. I was happy too, but you know what else was comfortable that particular day? My bed and my couch.
Yeah. There you go. And I don't blame you, man. I'm the same way. I mean, I root for any team LeBron's on. I've done that since 2008, since I don't have a basketball team to root for anymore, and it's been a very, very successful last 12 years. But I'm not going to celebrate the Miami Heat or celebrate the Cleveland Cavaliers or celebrate the LA Lakers.
You know what? The dynamic changes a little bit because I lived in L.A. for 5 years now, and regardless of what the perception is, there are a lot of people in L.A. that are diehard fans, particularly towards the Lakers specifically and the Dodgers. So being around those people and seeing what means to them, it changes it a little bit, and especially with the challenges that happened this year, not only with the pandemic and the bubble, but, of course, with the passing of Kobe, it kind of changed the way I view Lakers/LeBron fandom, because as you guys are, I was a sort of a Kobe hater, but in a sports way. Like, it was more of a hate because I was so fond of the things he could do off the court and more or less jealous my team never had a guy like that. So once he kind of retired, I kind of changed my view and how I looked at Kobe. But once the passing happened, it really affected me. Yeah. But not only did it affect me, it affected the city. And it was, I always have problems saying this word, but it was, what's the word, palpable?
Palpable, yeah.
Palpable, yeah.
You could feel it. Like, I went to the gym the day after Kobe passed, and I was at a friend's house. And me and that friend, we actually watched Kobe's last game together. And he's sitting there talking to me about something serious that's going on in his life. And like everyone else, I get the news via Twitter, and I just look at him, and I'm like, yo, I think Kobe died, man. Wow. And we're just sitting there together, and after experiencing that and see what it means to these people, besides LeBron winning, which was huge for me, that seeing those people get some kind of like glimmer of hope or like a ray of sunshine through this difficult time, it made me actually feel good. And I felt like I was part of it in a weird way.
Well, we started talking, Eddie, and again, Eddie Francis with us on the air, to get your perspective on a lot of social justice issues that are happening across the country. And I wonder, number one, how have things been going from your perspective in that regard in L.A.? And then number two, did the Lakers winning the championship, I mean, you kind of mentioned it there, but did that kind of bring communities of different backgrounds together?
I think that's one thing sports does more than anything else. I think sports and music are an equalizer. Like, people of all walks and backgrounds come together to root for sports and also for music and concerts, artists and things like that. So through these weird things that we're having, not only through social injustice and, you know, voter registration and everything else that's going, sports can be a unifier. But honestly, man, like, if I'm being perfectly honest, I think we're kind of back where we were at the beginning of this. I think there's more eyes and more people are paying attention to it, but I don't know if too many things have really changed. I think it's more or less a conversation piece. People talk about it more, but I don't know if the system is changing. Like, as we've seen elections and Senate hearings and all these things, nothing's really moving. So I think maybe it's a step in the right direction, but I can't say that it too much has shifted.
Well, and we're also struggling through an era right now where there's a lot of people that just are stuck in their ways and they won't mm-hmm. change. They believe they're right. And that translates to what you just mentioned a couple minutes ago, LeBron James. How do you handle people that no matter what LeBron does, no matter how many championships he wins, he could win 20 and people would say, Jordan 6-0, can't ever top that. Can't ever top that. How do you handle people that just will not give LeBron James any hope of ever becoming the GOAT?
Here's how I used to look at it, right? So I'm a Jordan fan like everybody else, but I'm also somebody that appreciates the greatness of LeBron. So a few years ago when he beat Cleveland, my thing was, why are people afraid to have that conversation? Like, there was almost like this anger from Jordan fans, like, no, there's no way, there's no way. So to fight back, my thing was, I would joke around like, LeBron's a GOAT, LeBron's the greatest. When it's all said and done, career numbers-wise, regardless how you feel about Jordan, he might have the greatest career because how long he's done it. Now, his peak, I don't really know that conversation. But statistically, every stat you throw out, LeBron has a comparable stat. Like, yes, he has lost in the finals, but he's also been in the finals 10 times. He's, 4-7 in the finals. He almost averaged a triple-double in the finals. Like, so whatever Jordan stat you have, at some point in time, you're splitting hairs. Yeah. And at very worst, LeBron's going to leave his NBA legacy, at the very worst, being the third greatest player of all time. And I don't understand why certain people just want to allow themselves to enjoy that. Like, as much as I root against Tom Brady, I enjoy his greatness. I joke around and hate against him, but I enjoy it. Towards the end of Kobe, it's a conversation we had earlier, I enjoy it. But there's some people that won't even enjoy LeBron. Like a buddy of mine, when Game 5 happened and he passed the shot to throw to wide open Danny Green, he was arguing with me, see, LeBron never takes the last shot. LeBron doesn't ever make game winners. And statistically, this is an actual stat, LeBron has more game-winning shots than Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. That's a stat. I didn't make that up. That's an actual stat. And people will still argue with you against an actual stat.
Eddie Francis is with us. Don't argue against actual stats with on the radio at all. You want to do that on your own damn time. And I will just say this, that I was pissed at him when he went on ESPN and did the I'm taking my talents to Miami thing. To me, that was just gross, the way that whole thing went down. And I remember saying, and Dick knows this on the air, there's only one way to make up for that. Go back to Cleveland and win a championship. And he did it. He did it. So now he's doing it with three different teams. He gets two more. He ties Jordan. So I think, as I told Harlan on the show Wednesday, the conversation about who the GOAT is, I think, is more appropriate now than ever because of what LeBron has done. What about the future, though, of that basketball team? Anthony Davis opting out. He'll come back, for sure and play with LeBron. But how many more rings does LeBron bring L.A., man?
I'm curious to find out because it doesn't come down to LeBron and Anthony Davis. What it comes down to is what are the supporting pieces around them going to look like? Like, if you look at the playoff run they had, people like Dwight Howard, Rajon Rondo, at some point in time, Marquise Morris, people like that were the difference makers. You know what you're getting out of LeBron and AD if they're healthy. It's all about defense with Frank Vogel, and potentially they can get better shooting. Like, Danny Green was frustrating the crap out of me along with every other Lakers fan. But the simple fact that you have two of the top four best players in the NBA, that already gives you an opportunity. And I don't think they'll get worse. They'll get better. So it's all just kind of dependent on seeing what kind of pieces they can surround them with.
I watched most of every Laker game in the playoffs because of LeBron. And I got to be honest with you, Eddie. I thought other than LeBron, AD, and sometimes KCP, and sometimes Rondo, I thought that team was crap around those two guys. Kuzma, garbage. Caruso, garbage. I mean, go down the list. I mean, those guys are replaceable, and now we're hearing rumors of maybe Chris Paul coming over there on the banana boat with LeBron. What do you think about that?
I don't know contractually, because those conversations always go beyond me. As a sports fan, we always like to play and put these pieces together, but we don't know how the money works. I agree with you. Those pieces were crap, but defensively, the things that they were able to do was very impressive. As far as shooting goes, it was kind of questionable, but look, man, in total, what they lose? 4 playoff games? Like, they went through the whole playoffs and lost 4 games, so as bad as those pieces look, going into when we first started, I thought Portland was going to be a problem. Portland won 1 game. Then all of a sudden you had that feisty, you had Houston, whatever, I'm not really counting them. Then you had that feisty Denver team, they won 1 game. And then this super tough Miami team, even though they were banged up, they managed to get 2 games. So even with those pieces that we're saying are not that good, they still pretty much beat everybody's breaks in the playoffs.
Yep. Well, Eddie Francis again with us, and let's go back to something you said a few minutes ago, because to me it's the most important topic. You said that you're not seeing much change, that maybe the conversation's kind of dying out a little bit when it comes to how people are treated in our country. And you mentioned that you're not seeing anything really change. What is something, for example, that could change that would make you feel differently about this?
Okay, because the issue that we have, and we've heard this these conversations, especially now in the last few months, it's a systemic issue. So things have to change within the governing of this country, not on like a grand scale. Starts on a lower scale. So if you take, for instance, things, I remember, you know, I'm watching this stuff from afar, so forgive me if I get some of the semantics wrong. But, like, watching how in Seattle they were trying to, like, defund the police, and all that really happened was the police, the head of the police or whatever, Cookie, she steps down. But nothing really happens. And then what ends up happening, too, is the money that they're trying to use to defund the police, they're not trying to get rid of police. That's not feasible. That's not going to happen. But they're trying to take that money and reroute it to other services that, you know, like the homeless issue that everyone's experiencing right now. Schooling, which is a huge challenge. It seems like even though we had those conversations, things like that aren't really taking place. Like, it sounds good for these huge companies to put their little black square on Instagram, but it's actually about not just having the conversation, but actual actions. Now, I can't sit here and say nothing has changed whatsoever, but it's not about talk, it's about actual action. And from my perspective, I haven't really seen too much action. I've heard conversations. Conversations only go so far until we start fixing the systemic issues that we've had for God knows how long.
Does it even matter in your mind who's elected president, or is this a local police department, city by city, county by county issue?
I think now more than ever, I mean, yes, it does have to start on the lower levels, I agree. But without diving in too deep, I see that, let's just put it like this. Regardless of what your politics are with our current president, he's a divisive character. He doesn't try to unite. Regardless of how you felt about Bush or Clinton or Obama or the previous Bush, there was a part where they would try to unite the people here and there. This president always talks about how he doesn't want to spend money in states that are blue and how there's good people on both sides. And there was basically a militia try to take over the Michigan government, and he's basically siding with those guys. So I don't even want to get in, because I know, you know, we got people from both sides. Sports is kind of our get away from these politics. But you want somebody in charge that wants to bring this country together and unite people regardless of how you feel, instead of dividing them. And we have a divider right now. So, yes, on a presidential level, we do need some change.
Eddie Francis again with us. And Eddie, as you know, ratings are way down for the NBA. A lot of reasons for that. The matchup, I think, was one. The fact that it's October and not June for the NBA Finals is another. But there are folks that are not watching because they're turned off by the social justice issues that are represented on the court. And you saw Adam Silver come out the other day and say, yeah, we're probably not going to go down that road again next year. For those that were turned off by the NBA because of that, what do you say to them?
I think it's okay, because I think they've done their part. Like, I think they took an issue that no one really knew what to do with it, and they took it on face forward, and they it's that action thing. They didn't just talk about it. They did their part to make sure that stadiums were able to be voting stations, and we're still going through issues with that.
Right.
You know, they spoke about it. They actually took the words and presented actions. If they decide to do a little bit less next year, that's fine to me personally, because they did their part. And you also know it's not going to stop completely, and it just probably won't be front and center. this year in particular, we needed it to be front and center. And if some people are turned off by that, that's fine. That's their prerogative. Mm-hmm. I think now more than ever, it's okay for people to not like stuff. Like, I'm not mad at you if you don't like the NBA. That's perfectly fine. That's up to you. If you chose to turn away, that's fine. Hopefully, I'm an NBA fan. Those ratings will go up. We'll get a better product. And then, two, a lot of it, man, they're fighting against football, too. And we all know football's king in this country.
Yeah. I think it's an easy narrative for people to see the ratings and blame it on that. And yet you see WNBA ratings were up big year to year, and they were just as much a part of that movement more a part of that movement than the NBA. And then you got ratings for golf and tennis down, and that wasn't an issue in those sports, and those sports are even down further than the NBA, Eddie.
Yeah, so you know what? It's easy to look at a specific number and say this is the reason why. But as we dig through the numbers, who really knows, man? I mean, we were all going through a lot this year. Maybe people just didn't feel like watching basketball, man. We're all dealing with – people are losing their jobs left and right in this country. People are not being able to afford their rent. Maybe cats just weren't really focused on the basketball. And to me in particular, I know you guys are in the Raiders game, so that's your job. I don't care if other people don't enjoy stuff, and that's on them. Yep. I enjoyed it. I thought it was some great basketball.
And I appreciate that attitude, man, because I'm totally with you. I mean, why do I need affirmation from somebody else about something I enjoy watching, right? I mean, if I enjoy going home and watching Empire Strikes Back 15 times in a row.
Which he does.
I don't care what you think. I'm doing it anyway. You know why? Because it makes me feel good. So why do I need somebody else to enjoy it with me? But Eddie Francis is with us, and I thought we had a spirited conversation over Twitter when Dak Prescott went down, and there were some folks that immediately turned to a critical eye of the Dallas Cowboys for not getting a contract done with Dak before he got hurt, to which Dick and I both kind of had the same take that, wait a minute, didn't Jerry offer this guy $100+ million guaranteed? What was your take on that whole sequence there?
Okay, so we got into it about was my particular phrasing was you can't knock a player for holding out. Mm-hmm. It's about self-worth. What do you think you're worth? What does the market show that you are worth? And my particular argument is I can't get mad at a player for deciding going the Le'Veon Bell route. Now, if you remember and look at where Le'Veon Bell is now, he kind of lost out in this holdout situation, but it made the sense to him at the time. Think about this. Every year in the NFL, the numbers reset. The market value shifts. So right now, and I don't know the exact numbers because, like I said, this isn't my thing, Kirk Cousins is one of the top 10 highest-paid athletes in the entire world. If you're Dak Prescott and you're going up and you're saying, hey, I'm going to negotiate a new contract, you feel like you're worth Kirk Cousins' money at minimum. We can all agree if you're Dak Prescott, you can feel that way. So in the NFL in particular, it's not about who's the best or who's the quarterback that should get paid the most according to what they are as far as NFL rankings. It's every year the market resets. If you remember, Joe Flacco bet on himself in that year, and we were all having that argument, is Joe Flacco elite? He happened to win the Super Bowl that year, and then Baltimore had to pay him. So the NFL has set precedent that it's not what the best is, it's what the market value is that particular year. So if you're Dak Prescott, it makes it to hold out and say, hey, I'm worth more than Kirk Cousins because that's what's going to happen the next year. Somebody else is going to be a free agent, and then they're going to be the highest paid quarterback. So it's a business decision. I'm not mad at the Cowboys for not signing. I think what ends up happening is the narrative shifts too far. It becomes like, how dare the Cowboys not sign Dak Prescott? And then it becomes, how dare Dak Prescott not sign the money? On both sides of the coin, I could see what the argument could be.
Now you have a situation with Andy Dalton who, you know, if you just look back at the quarterback rankings from last year when he was starting, I mean, he was only 7-8 spots lower than Dak Prescott. It's not like you're going from a Russell Wilson to a Geno Smith situation like you would here in Seattle if Russ went down. So what do you think the Cowboys look like the rest of the way?
Okay, so first and foremost, you got to think about what division they're in. They're in the NFC East, which we've all made the joke, the NFC least. So they're always going to be in contention. They're always going to be a team that can potentially win their division because it is so bad. Andy Dalton, at the end of the day, is a middle to bottom middle tier quarterback. So depending on what the run offense can do, and you have – I'm an Ohio State fan, so you have somebody like Zeke Elliott. The problem with the Cowboys is they can't stop anybody. How many points did the Giants put up in the Giants? Think. So Andy Dalton could be the greatest quarterback in the world, but if your defense can't hold water, then who knows? And if I recall correctly, two or three of their offensive linemen, which is one of their strengths, is like done for the season or at least hurt currently right now. So I don't think it's as much on Andy Dalton as people think because he has the weapons around him with Gallup and I forgot the name of the rookie that they have, is with CeeDee Lamb.
CeeDee Lamb, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
we'll see if Amari Cooper can actually show up, but theoretically he's a really good player. So I think it's less on Andy Dalton than people think and more about defensively what can they do in that crappy division.
So you're a Laker fan who also likes the Buckeyes. Are you a Yankee fan, an Alabama fan too?
Hey, slow down. Like I said, not a Lakers fan. I'm a LeBron fan. Right. I am an Ohio State fan, but also a Washington fan.
So who'd you root for in the last Rose Bowl?
The last Rose Bowl, I sat in the Ohio State section with a Huskies jacket on.
Uh-huh.
What?
Yep.
He's fully confused.
How'd that go for you?
People were confused. People were very confused.
I'm confused.
I was rooting for the Huskies. The tickets, I had no idea. I just bought tickets. I didn't know I was actually going to be Ohio State section, but I was rooting for the Huskies.
I got you. Well, listen, man, always fun to catch up. Let's do it again very soon. Have fun down there. Enjoy the title, and we'll talk in the next few weeks, pal. Appreciate
this,
man.
Appreciate it, fellas. Take care.
You got Eddie Francis with us on the radio show. Always good, Dick, to catch up with Eddie. Fun. Let's get a break and come back and talk to Brett Boone. Baseball playoffs, obviously, getting close to the World Series. Brett Boone, why are baseball ratings so bad? And why are 58% of our audience members saying they have not watched a minute of the baseball playoffs this year? Brett Boone will join the radio show next on